Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, I forget a lot of things. I've gotten better recently, but there was a time back in high school where I could never, at any given time, locate my phone, my wallet, and my keys. Sometimes I'd have two out of three, but all of them at the same time. I've gotten better recently, but back in high school, I would go home on breaks from Wisconsin at Luther Prep to back to Texas, where I'm from, and my mom would know that every time she was going to have to send a package back up to Wisconsin with all of the things that I had forgotten at home. And I think if you asked my mom at that time in my life whether my forgetfulness was a good trait, it's pretty obvious what she would say, right? No, it's not a good thing that I'm so forgetful. It wasn't good for her to spend $10 on shipping every time I came home. It wasn't good for me to constantly be looking for things. It was embarrassing. It's not fun to forget things. But in our lesson today, Jesus tells us that sometimes forgetfulness can be a good thing. Jesus is going to say in our lesson, forget yourself and follow me. We're going to forget ourselves and follow Jesus as he carries his cross and then as we carry ours. Who do people say that I am? That's the question Jesus leads off our reading with this morning. Who do people say I am? It's a question a lot of people in Israel were talking about. Who is this Jesus? Some claimed him to be a blasphemer, a heretic, somebody who needed to be put to death. Others said this is the Son of God, the promised Messiah. It was a divisive question. So Jesus asks his disciples and they say, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But then Jesus asks the question he's really getting at. He says, what about you? What about you, disciples? Who do you say that I am? But it wasn't that easy of a question for them to answer either. See, they had seen some pretty glorious things from Jesus. They had seen Jesus raise the dead, heal the blind and the sick and the lame. They had seen him feed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. They had seen some glorious things from Jesus, but they had also seen some not so glorious things. They had seen him driven out of villages for preaching the word of God. They had seen people gather together in mobs to try and kill him, to try and throw him off of a cliff. So if you ask the disciples this question, who do you think Jesus is? They might say it depended on the day. But not Peter. Peter is bold. He's confident. He's ready to give his answer. And he steps up and he says, Jesus, you are the Messiah. See, there was no doubt for Peter. He knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the all-powerful Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Peter couldn't wait for Jesus to start acting like it. Peter couldn't wait for Jesus to finally set up that kingdom he came to establish. He couldn't wait for Jesus to get those Romans out of Israel, to restore Israel to its former glory, and maybe put a special little throne right next to him that Peter could sit on. Peter knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and he couldn't wait for him to start acting like it. But then, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. All of a sudden, it's not seeming so glorious to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus says he has to die. He's going to be rejected and killed, and so Peter is bold. He's confident. He's ready to speak his mind, so he steps up and he rebukes Jesus. He says, stop talking like that, Jesus. You're not talking like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't die, Jesus, because you can't set up a kingdom if you're dead. In another gospel, we hear what Peter says to Jesus. He says, "Surely not, Lord. This shall never happen to you." In just a few verses, Peter has gone from faithful rock to stumbling block. He's gone from confident confessor to denier and disowner. He's gone from making the confession Jesus said that he's going to build his church on to putting himself in the way of Jesus' work as Savior. So because he's putting himself in the way of Jesus' work, Jesus speaks the same words to Peter that he spoke to the devil in the wilderness. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Harsh words, right? Harsh words for Peter, this disciple of Christ. But Jesus knew they were necessary. He knew those harsh words were necessary because he knew that the cross was necessary. There was no maybe about it. He had to go suffer and die. As hard as it is to watch Peter go from one end of the spectrum to the other in just a few verses, I appreciate reading stories about Peter. I appreciate reading about Peter because I see myself in him. How he goes from confident confessor to denier and disowner just like that. It reminds me of myself, and I think you'd probably have to agree with that. How we can go from sitting in church on a Sunday morning, boldly confessing Christ with our fellow believers, but then hours later, we're denying him and disowning him in our words and our actions. You come to church on a Sunday morning and you're encouraged and fed with God's word, but how long does it last? How long does it take before you put that faith that you have back in its little box and shove it back in the corner of the closet until next week? Do you make it through Sunday without gossiping about somebody? Do you make it through Monday without being lazy or unfaithful at work or at school? Do you make it even an hour after church before you've taken off that Sunday best behavior and you stop treating your spouse or your children with the same amount of love and respect that you show them when you're in front of other people at church? It's maddening, isn't it? Ping-ponging back and forth from one end of the spectrum to the other. Going from confessing Christ in church to disowning him in your words and your actions. So maybe you think about that and you wonder, could God really put up with that from me? Am I really God's child? Would he really accept that from someone he calls his child? Or maybe you don't like to think about those things. Instead, you think about the fact that you did come to church. The fact that you did something nice for someone this week. You start thinking about the things you've done and putting your hope and your trust in those. Maybe you're like Peter, and that you're so focused on things you do that you don't even realize the grip that Satan has on you. You don't even realize him focusing your eyes on the things of men, the things of this earth, instead of the things of God. And that's exactly why there was no maybe in Jesus' statement. That's exactly why he said he must go to the cross. Because he knows our hearts. He knows that we're weak. He knows that we're not always bold and confident in doing God's will. So he knew that he had to forget himself, forget the temptation to forego the cross and go straight for the crown. He knew that he had to die so that God could let self-serving, glory-seeking sinners like you and me into heaven. And he knew that he must rise too, so that we could see that we're not just following Jesus to a cross, we're following him all the way to an eternal crown of glory in heaven. He knew that he had to rise because it's true. You can't set up a kingdom if you're dead. He knew that he had to rise so he could set up his kingdom, not on earth, not in Israel, but in heaven and in our hearts. A kingdom to drive the devil and our sinful flesh out of our hearts, to drive those temptations away from us so that we could grow in faith and grow in our knowledge of Him. So that we can look at Him and forget ourselves. Forget our sin and our guilt and our shame and all our worries and our fears. We can forget all of those and follow Him as He carries His cross to pay the price for all of those sins. And then follow Him as we carry our own cross here on earth. After Jesus rebuked Peter, He turned and He called the whole crowd to Himself. And He told them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Jesus turned and spoke to the whole crowd because He knew that Peter wasn't the only one who was afraid of the cost of following Jesus. He knew that self-preservation is basic human instinct. He knew that people would rather say no to following Jesus if it meant pain and suffering and say yes to themselves, to their own instincts and desires. Jesus spoke to the whole crowd because He knew that every single one of us by nature hates to say no to ourselves. There was a movie that came out a little while ago called Yes Man. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's a movie starring Jim Carrey. And the basic premise of this movie is that Jim Carrey is this guy who's really angry at the world. He's just lost his job. He's grumpy. He's mean to everybody he comes into contact with. But then he gets dragged to this self-help seminar against his will. And he goes there and grudgingly listens to what the speaker has to say. And this speaker tells him, the key to finding happiness and success and fulfillment in life is to stop saying no. Is to say yes to every opportunity that comes your way, every question somebody asks you, every request for help, anything that comes your way, say yes. Get the word no completely out of your vocabulary. And so he's reluctant at first, but he figures, what do I have to lose? And he tries it. He says yes to everything. And in the movie, it works. He finds happiness and success. He has all these great experiences. He lives out his dreams all because he stopped saying no to himself. Kind of far-fetched, right? That probably wouldn't actually work, but isn't that how we think sometimes? It's the theme of just about every commercial these days. Every motivational commercial tells you, stop saying no to your dreams. Stop saying no to yourself. You can do anything you want to. Imagine what we could do if we stopped saying no to ourselves. So what Jesus says here doesn't sound too enticing, does it? Because He says if we want to follow Him, we must say no to ourselves. That's what that word literally means, the word deny. It literally means say no to yourself. He says we must forget ourselves, say no to ourselves to follow Him. But how often do we actually do that? Maybe sitting here in church, we think, I would say no to myself and say yes to Jesus. But if you look back on your life, honestly, and look at all the chances you've had to make that decision between the yes man route or the following Jesus route, you'd have to admit, more often than not, you say yes to yourself and say no to Jesus. Because we're like Peter. We want that crown that Jesus offers us. That sounds pretty good. But the cross? Not so much. The cross we can take or leave. So we convince ourselves that we can have the crown without the cross. We convince ourselves it's okay to just put the cross down for a little while when it gets a little too heavy, a little too inconvenient. We can put the cross down for a little while and let some hateful words slip out of our mouths. We can put the cross down for a little while and not share our faith with someone in conversation. Because it's just going to make it awkward, right? It's just going to ruin the relationship we've built with that person. It's just easier to put that cross down for a little while. And you tell yourself, it's okay, I can always pick it up again later. I'm just going to set it down right now. But Jesus is clear, isn't he? Whoever wants to be my disciple must take up their cross and follow me. There's no maybe about it, Jesus says. And as he speaks those words, our sinful nature cries out in opposition, surely not, Lord. Don't let this ever happen to me. But thank God that our salvation does not rest on our own shoulders. Our salvation doesn't hinge on how well we carry the cross that's on our shoulders. Instead, it rests on the shoulders of the one who carried his cross perfectly for us. It rests on the shoulders of the one who went through life suffering more persecution than any of us ever will, and who never once gave into that temptation to put the crown before the cross. The one who took our sins on his shoulders and died on that cross. The one who, because he was carrying our sins on his shoulders, cried out to his heavenly Father while he hung there, asking God for help and receiving a resounding no. And our salvation comes to its fulfillment 3 days later, when Jesus shows us the crown that comes after the cross, when he rises victorious from the grave to show us that kingdom he came to establish. And when that kingdom comes into our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit, working through his word and the sacrament. So that when Jesus says, forget yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, our hearts through faith just do it. There's no maybe about it. We pick up our cross. We forget ourselves. We forget all the things we're leaving behind because we know they're only passing pleasures, and we follow Jesus. It's true. Forgetting things isn't very fun. And Jesus tells us that forgetting yourself won't be much different. There are going to be plenty of times where forgetting yourself and following Jesus is not the popular or even the fun way to go. But you know when that cross gets a little heavy, when it seems to be more than you can bear, you can turn to your brother who carried his cross perfectly in your place. You can turn to his words and find strength and courage to bear up under the weight of that cross. You can turn to his sacrament to receive the strength to carry your cross in this life. So that your faith becomes stronger and stronger, so that cross seems less and less like a burden and more like a privilege. So that you, while you're forgetting yourself, also get to forget all that pain, all that suffering, all the guilt and the worry and the fear you used to feel, and instead get to fix your eyes on Jesus. So that when you hear your friend, your brother, your Savior telling you, forget yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. There's no maybe about it. You just do it. Amen.